ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 25. Avyakto ayam achintyo ayam avikaryo ayam uchate tasmat evam viditvainam Nanu sochitam arhasi avyaktoyam achintyoyam avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam Tasmadevam viditvainam Nanu sochitum arhasi Nanu sochitum arhasi Avyaktoyam achintoyam Avikaryoyam uchyate Tasmadevam viditvainam Nanu sochitam arhasi. Invisible. I am this soul. Achintya. Inconceivable. I am this soul. Avikarya. Unchangeable. I am this soul. Uchyate. Is said. Tasmat, therefore, evam, like this. Yeah. Viditva, knowing it well, enam, this soul, na, do not, anusochitum, to lament, arhasi, you deserve. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Gita. It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. Purport. As described previously, the magnitude of the soul is so small for our material calculation that he cannot be seen even by the most powerful microscope. Therefore, it is invisible. As far as the soul's existence is concerned, no one can establish his existence experimentally beyond the proof of Shruti or Vedic wisdom. We have to accept this truth, because there is no other source of understanding the existence of the soul, although it is a fact by perception. There are many things we have to accept solely on grounds of superior authority. No one can deny the existence of his father based upon the authority of his mother. There is no source of understanding the identity of the father except by the authority of the mother. Similarly, there is no source of understanding the soul except by studying the Vedas. In other words, the soul is inconceivable by human experimental knowledge. The soul is a consciousness and conscious. That also is a statement of the Vedas, and we have to accept that. Unlike the bodily changes, there is no change in the soul. As eternally unchangeable, the soul remains atomic in comparison to the infinite Supreme Soul. The Supreme Soul is infinite, and the atomic soul is infinitesimal. Therefore, the infinitesimal soul being unchangeable, can never become equal to the infinite soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This concept is repeated in the Vedas in different ways just to confirm the stability of the conception of the soul. Repetition of something is necessary in order that we understand the matter thoroughly without error. Avyakto yam achintyo yam avikaryo yam uchate tasmat evam viditvainam anusochitam arhasi. It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. Om Agyatimranyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandesi Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitta Shando Tamonadao. He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Chagapate Gopisha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namostate Mancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhi Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevi Vaishnevi Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Arjuna, he didn't want to perform his duty as a Kshatriya. He was in the middle of the battlefield facing all the different warriors from the Kuru clan arrayed before him. Krishna, Partha Sarathi, he's his charioteer, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his friend, well-wisher, and also later on Arjuna accepted him as Guru. But before he accepted him as a Guru, he was lamenting why this battle has to take place, why you have to kill. So he actually preferred to take sannyas or run away, go to the forest and give up all kinds of work, all work, and become a yogi. But Krishna didn't like this idea because Arjuna is his devotee, his friend, his Aryan. He knows what is duty, what is to be done, and what is not to be done. Somehow he felt under this illusion, overwhelming of socha means lamentation. So he started to lament about the reaction we will all get if we are killing so many righteous soldiers and kings and superiors and even brahmanas. And then Krishna, he speaks from text 11 on, from second chapter, Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Asochan anvasochastvam pragyavadam subhagase gatasum agatasum sha manu sochati panditaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning, you are lamenting, for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise or pandit lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So pandit means brahmana. Brahmana, he knows what is the soul. He knows what is eternal. An non-brahmana, that means an opposite of brahmana, is what is opposite of brahmana? Kripana. Prabhupada says opposite of brahmana is kripana. And kripana means he's miser, because he doesn't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. He doesn't know what is eternal and what is temporary. So he's on the bodily concept. He's narrow-minded, miserly. Therefore, it's kripana. And the opposite of kripana is brahmana. So now, brahmana. So brahmana means he who knows Brahman. Supreme, first of all, the supreme Brahman, Parabrahman, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Satchitananda, Vigraha, Nadia, Adya, Govinda, Sarva, Karana, Karanam. So Brahmana is established in the knowledge of Brahman, Supreme Brahman, and also about the eternal level of the Absolute Truth, that the Absolute Truth never comes or becomes influenced by the illusion or by nations, by avidya, by ignorance, or by maya. So the living entity is also described as Brahman, because it is also eternal. It's jiva, jivatma is Brahman. It's also eternal. Similar quality as the Lord. Nitya nitanam, chetanas chetananam, ekubahunam, yovidadhati kamam. That's stated in the Shruti, in the Vedas. There are two eternals, nityas, eternal, the super soul, and the jivatma soul, the two atmas, the jivatma and the Paramatma are eternal, nitya, nityanam, chetanas, chetananam. That means they are eternal, they have awareness, they have knowledge, they have consciousness, cheta, means it's conscious. And of these two eternals, one is the enjoyer, Eko bahunam yovi vidadhati kaman. Eko, that means the one supreme, eternal is the supreme, and all others are his subordinates, are to be enjoyed. So that means the super soul or the supreme lord is Purusha, he is Vishaya. And the living entities who belong to the Prakriti nature, that means to the energy, to the energies, they are enjoyed, ashraya. That means they only can become happy and successful if they take shelter in the Vishaya. Purusha, Mahapurusha, or the Supreme Lord is the Vishaya, and the living entity is Ashrita, Ashraya. So it is the one who takes shelter under the Supreme Enjoyer. That means giving enjoyment towards the Lord. That's the eternal function of the soul. Therefore it is stated, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasapa Pritya. So Krishna is the one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is his subordinate, that means his servant. He's the master, and the devotee or the living entity is the servant. Unfortunately, the living entities, because they are in contact with material nature, with Maya, with the inferior energy, para-prakriti, since time immemorial, they are in contact with this material energy, with Maya, because they belong to the Tathashta Shakti, the marginal energy. As such, they have a tendency either to, they can choose, they have the free will to choose to serve to the Lord under his spiritual energy, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, like the Mahatmas, they're only taking shelter in the Daivi Prakriti, in the transcendental nature of the Lord. They don't wish to enjoy material nature, Maya. For them it's not tasteful. It's not because they know it's the real taste is coming from serving the Lord senses, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti, Ruchate. But because of Upadi, the conditioned soul, Sarva Upadi, Vinaya Muktam, conditioned soul as Upadis, different identifications with the body, nations, male, female, families, like that, different kinds of dress, different kinds of fashions and enjoyments, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This is the tendency of the conditioned soul. He wants to enjoy this Maya. Because Maya is shadow energy of the Lord, the conditioned souls struggling actually with the senses for sense gratification, sometimes feel some happiness and sometimes distress. So that means the living entity who is eternal, as stated here, it is always eternal, it is unconceivable, it is steady. Achala means it doesn't move, it doesn't change or mutate or transform like the material energy. This constant transformation in our bodies, constant transformation, the material world is transforming all the time, but the living entity is not transforming. Therefore it is always sthita, it is always steady, not movable. But it is life, it's dead, it's not dead. Actually the material body is dead. What makes the body alive? Body is a chemical combination of different elements. So but these elements don't get alive without the presence of the soul. So the soul is needed, soul element, jiva. It means the spiritual nature is needed. If the spiritual nature is not present in the material nature cannot work, cannot function. Therefore, only thanks to the spiritual energy, the material energy is working. And if the spiritual energy is absent, that means the living entity, the jiva, is out of body. The body is dead. It was always dead. Therefore Krishna says, what do I meant about a body like who is already dead? Because that personality or that jivatma who is in the body, that life force, we actually never have seen. It's not visible with our material eyes. We only can perceive it by the presence of the consciousness of a person. The person is there. So the living force is there, the Atma. And as long as the Atma is there, although we never have seen him, we have a connection with different persons. We have relationships. But if this body is out, if this living entity is out of the body, then we cannot communicate anymore. And with the living entity who is not embodied anymore, we can also not communicate because we cannot see it. So about what we are lamenting, if we never have seen that, what we actually, the person whom we love. That is Krishna's point. From text 11 on up to 25, Krishna tries to convince Arjuna to give up lamentation on the basis of Vedic statements, Shruti. That means that what the sages say, the self-realized sages, the Vedavids, the Pandits, those who are absorbed on hours of the Veda, they came to the conclusion that it is not worth to lament about the living and the dead, because the real living force, the soul, anyway doesn't die. So there's nothing to lament. And the material body is already dead, so it's also nothing to lament when the living entity leaves that body. So that means the knowers of the Veda, the Vedas can only be known by Brahmana, or by somebody who learned Vedic knowledge from a Vedic teacher. Krishna also in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, he tells that one cannot find out about one's self-identity, a soul, who we are, what is our real nature, and what is the Lord, and what is our relationship with Him, with our own effort. That means we need a person who is revealing it to us. And there are three authorities who reveal this knowledge to us. Three personalities. That means the Vaishnava or an Acharya, Guru, Acharya, he can reveal it. The Vedic scriptures, they can reveal it. And the Supersoul within the heart can reveal it. But the Supersoul within the heart is very difficult to perceive and to hear as long as we have not a peaceful mind. As long as our mind is too much chanchala, because the opposite of the soul, who is always steady and not flickering, the mind is always, because in touch in material nature, always is flickering, it's always changing. It's not steady, cannot be fixed. Therefore, Krishna, he teaches here in the Bhagavad Gita later on how to fix the mind on the soul and on super soul, about the Atma, become absorbed in the self, in the self realization. Self realization means become absorbed not in the bodily concept. Some people think nowadays I'm self-realized because I know who I am materially. I'm nicely established, I'm happy, I know what I want, I have good plans and ideas, I'm intelligent, and so I'm sober, I'm sane, so I it's everything clear, so they call it self-realization. But that's the self-realization of the body, was anyway going any time, so it's not real self-realization. That's an illusion. So the real self-realization means realizing the Atma. That means the soul and the Paramatma, the super soul. And there are those who only want to realize that I'm spirit, that I'm eternal, but they don't have faith in the Paramatma, in the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this kind of self-realization is also not perfect. It's not perfect. Because what is the use if you know that you're eternal, that you're not changing, and that you are here in this body, But how you will use this body if you don't receive higher knowledge about a personality whom the living entity always by nature likes to serve and to please and to engage in pleasure of the Supreme Lord, and that actually his nature is engaging in steady service. Because as long we have not this establishment or this knowledge established in the heart, this sambandha jnana, that we are eternal soul, not only eternal soul, but that we are eternal servants of Krishna. That's our duty, our nature, svarup, nature is to serve Krishna. Chivera svarupoi Krishnera nityadas. That was Lord Chaitanya's first teachings to Sanatana Goswami, who approached Lord Chaitanya in a very humble mood. He was very learned, knew many languages. He was a minister in the government, and he was very, very, very intelligent. But when he came for Lord Chaitanya, he had told, "My dear Lord, I came to you to surrender to you with the straw in the mouth. I surrender to you. Please tell me who I am. Why I have to suffer? Why I have to go through the threefold kinds of suffering? Suffering of body and mind, suffering caused by other living entities, and suffering caused by higher force. So why I have to suffer? Please tell me. And please tell me who I am. Ke ami. Because if I don't know who I am, then I don't know what is beneficial for me. How to act properly. How not to act. How to act properly. And please also tell me what is the sadhya. What is the sadhana? And what is the sadhya? What is the goal of my sadhana? So he approached Lord Chaitanya with this question. You should always ask questions. Actually, Upanishads and all Vedas start with questions. Brahmachari or a person or a king or sometimes sages, they ask questions. Why is this? Why is that? Please tell me. What is the goal of life? So then it's very important to ask the questions to the right person, superior person who has knowledge. We don't ask questions to somebody who doesn't know Veda. Like here in India, Prabhupada sometimes quoted or told as an example. If somebody makes a statement, the person who is a follower of Veda, who believes the Vedas, he will say, what is your authority? What is your praman? Praman means what is your evidence? And it's very important evidence to accept Veda, Shruti. Actually 10 different kinds of evidences given, but 3 are most popular and accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, 3 pramanas, 3 evidences. One is Shruti, means hearing from scriptures, from the revealed scriptures, who are actually born or appeared from the Supreme Lord, Veda Narayana Sakshat. The other one is Anuman. Anuman means logic. Or like mental speculation, to think about it could be these or that. And the other one is pratyaksha, direct perception. But of these three evidences, Brahman, Shruti is accepted as the best Brahman, the best evidence. And the other two, direct perception and Anuman, is accepted if it is supported or if it comes to the same result as Shruti. But if these other two sources of Brahman don't come to the same conclusion like Shruti, it is rejected. That's the way how we can accept things, even by direct perception or by logic or mental speculation. We can accept if it is confirmed by the Vedic scriptures. So that means the main authority is Vedic scripture, and Krishna is the supreme authority, the supreme teacher, and he came to this world to reveal this Bhagavad Gita, who is timeless, who is eternal, to his devotee Arjuna, because he was faithful, he was devoted, although skeptical in the beginning, but that was only due to Krishna's arrangement, so that he could speak the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna very mercifully, through Arjuna, teach the world the process of real self-realization, of the identity of the soul. Because only if we understand that we're eternal, we can work or act on the eternal platform. People who don't believe in the eternal, we have no knowledge about it, they're in ignorance, therefore they only set temporary goals. And whatever goals what they set, now will become destroyed. Parabhava yavada bodhachata. Parabhava means defeat, it becomes destroyed by maya. So it is impermanent. For only shrayas, that what is brings happiness on the long term, on eternity, that is accepted by the Vedas. Not prayas, that what gives sense gratification immediately. This has to be not necessarily rejected, because rejection doesn't really bring detachment, because rejection of maya or of that what is not wanted can only act like a boomerang. It comes back to you. But when we'll become gradually detached from the temporary. So now we are attached to the temporary, to material body, to material concepts, objects, and so on. And by the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, instruction of Spiritual Master, we're learning how to engage this on Shreya, on the long term. The Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, this ninefold process, this can be used, applied in material way or in the spiritual way, in Krishna service. So we have the choice, either to engage hearing, chanting, remembering in to think about maya and the objects of maya, or to use it for hearing, chanting and remembering about Krishna. The result is different, because hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna, not about Krishna, will lead to moha, means illusion. It leads to baya, fear, and it leads to lamentation. This is the nature. If one becomes attached to the material nature, that's the nature. These three things are unavoidable. Therefore, in the material world, everyone is in illusion, in moha. And due to bodily concept of life, we think everything is temporary. We are very much lamenting. And they are very much afraid. We are lamenting if we don't gain what we desire, and we lament if we are losing what we have. So therefore the whole world is practically lamenting. If you hear news or reading newspaper, it's only lamentation all the time. Lamentation. This and that. So many problems. Because material world means problem. And the only devotees know that. Materialists cannot know that. Because they took shelter in Maya. So for them, they're always going on, chewing the jute, always try to somehow or other go on with the fight. Go on with the struggle. The main thing is somehow or other get some enjoyment. Even if it is only very little. So this is Bhagavatam, therefore, gives us the process. Srila Vyasadeva, he felt compassion because he saw the living entities are suffering because they belong actually to the higher nature. He understood actually they don't have to suffer, but they suffer because they took shelter in the temporary material world, in Maya. They're covered by the Maya like a cloud. It's covering consciousness, it's covering the sun. So the living entity is covered by this avidya, by ignorance, what causes him all kinds of suffering. But Srila Vyasadeva thinks, but the suffering is not needed for him. If he will take shelter in bhakti yoga, in devotional service, all his miseries will be removed. He will come to the light. He will the darkness or the cloud will be removed. And it's the only process where the cloud of Maya can be removed by reconnecting ourselves in yoga, with bhakti yoga, with Krishna. And that's in 177, the first canto, 7th chapter, text 7. This is a very nice verse. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam Krishna parama purushe Bhaktir utpayate pumsha shokamoha bayapaha. Simply by giving outer reception to this Vedic literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So, simply by giving oral reception, means hearing. Hearing. Shrotriya. Shrotriya Brahmanishtam. You have to hear transcendental sound vibration. Now our ears are open for hearing so much prachalpa, politics, nonsense. What is the news in the world? But this is only causing miserable anxiety in the mind. It will never make the mind peaceful. Therefore the devotee has to learn to detach himself from mundane, worldly sound vibration because it only bounds him to this material world. But because you don't have a taste or a training to hear about transcendental sound, therefore you always take shelter in material sound. What covers you more and more and puts your mind and your senses in miserable condition more and more. Birth after birth, life after life. So when one wants to come out, we have to take the medicine. Bhavaushata shrotya manobhiramat ka uttama shloka gunanu vadat puman viracheta vinapashugyat. Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal disciple of Bhagavatam, taking shelter of Shukadev Goswami. He got so much taste after hearing the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the beginning of 10th canto, before Shukadev Goswami actually started to speak about Krishna's leelas in Vrindavan, about his appearance and his activities here in Vrindavan, Maharaj Parikshit, he was already so much overwhelmed. Because it is stated If you hear attentively the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, you are a liberated soul already. And you have to be a liberated soul that you can dive deep in Krishna Leela in the 10th canto. Some they want to jump over the nine cantos and directly go to the 10th canto. And some they even want to skip the 10th canto and only take 5 chapters from the 10th canto. 28 to 34 or 5-6 chapters. Rasa Leela. And all other topics related to Krishna are not interested for them. They say this is not rasa. So we are only interested in rasa. But the ideal disciple, Maharaj Parikshit, who took shelter by Shukadev Goswami, he had only 7 days remaining in his body. And he was clever enough, and he heard about the message that he will die in 7 days, so he went to the bank of the Ganga, sat down there peacefully and waited, what will happen now. Many sages came because they knew, Maharaj Parikshit is not an ordinary person, his great personality, son, descendant of the Pandavas, the Kuru dynasty, very great soul. There must be some very special katha going on when he is there sitting down fasting, not eating, not drinking, until the end of life. He didn't want to defend himself. Although in the beginning he had fear, he was in anxiety. What will happen now? What with my kingdom? So he was in anxiety, but he thought, okay, let's go now. He accepted it as arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So let's now go and sit down on the bank of the Ganges. So it's a holy river where all the saintly persons took shelter who wanted to attain liberation. And there, fortunately, he met Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami, from very beginning, without compromise, he told him, fix your mind in Krishna. Don't waste time. Don't go through all these different yoga practice of karma, jnana, and yoga. Just go directly to bhakti, ultimately. Because only that is beneficial for the soul. Only that will make the soul happy. And then when Maharaj Parikshit heard these nectarian stories and very instructive philosophy teach by the great Bhagavata personalities, he became very overwhelmed, and he requested Shukadev Goswami, please continue to speak this message of Bhagavatam. I'm becoming more and more eager, more and more fired up to hear. That's the result. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Because the living entity is Nitya, it is eternal. And it has to therefore be, it will not become happy in un-eternal, not eternal activities. It can only become happy if we engage the soul and all our senses and mind and ego in hearing and chanting about eternal life. And the only auspicious topic what gives actually real happiness is to hear and to chant about Krishna. That's the only topic. All other topics are not leading to auspiciousness. They're actually abhadra. But Bhagavatam says in the very beginning, Nastaparishu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashlokir bhakti bhavati naishtiki. If you regularly hear or attend Bhagavatam classes, hearing from the devotees about Srimad Bhagavatam, Everything that is inauspicious, that is abhadra, will practically become destroyed to nil. And loving devotional service to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified with chosen prayers, Uttama Shloka, will become an irrevocable fact. Will become irrevocable. So it's the only auspicious engagement to engage in devotional service. Because that is nitya. This is eternal activity of the soul. And the same Lord Chaitanya told to Sanatana Goswami. The nature of the soul is to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to engaging in sadhana bhakti, and ultimately in raga, and in this way rati or attachment, loving devotion to Krishna will become established in the heart of the purified soul. So the purified soul who is taking regularly the medicine of hearing, chanting about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam will cross over the ocean of birth and death. Because taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam is like taking shelter in Krishna's lotus feet. So it's the secure boat to cross over to the other side of the ocean of birth and death. And Parikshit Maharaj says, those who are not taking shelter in this process, they actually are considered Atmaha, killer of their own self. Killer of their own self, yeah. So what does this mean? It's not that the soul is killed. Because we heard the soul never is killed. It is eternal. But actually the soul becomes, if you don't engage the soul in his eternal occupation, in bhakti, in devotional service to Krishna, then we actually kill him. Kill him from the opportunity of making advancement in spiritual life, in loving devotional service to Krishna. So we keep the soul covered by the ignorance, by Maya. And this is considered like as good as dead. That is stated, I want to read you something from 4th Canto, 22nd Chapter, Text 31. Sanat Kumar gives instruction to Prithu Maharaj. So he says, When one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to remember the previous position or recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge acquired is based on false foundation. And this occurs, learned scholars consider that the soul is lost. The soul is lost because it becomes so much covered by the ignorance or forgetfulness of his eternal identity as a servant of Krishna. So the living entity or the soul is ever existing and eternal. It cannot be lost, but learned scholars say that it is lost and actual knowledge is not working. That is the difference between animals and human beings. According to less intelligent philosophers, animals have no soul, but factually animals have souls. Due to the animals' gross ignorance, however, it appears that they have lost their souls. Without a soul, a body cannot move. That is the difference between a living body and a dead body. When the soul is out of the body is called dead. The soul is said to be lost when there is no proper knowledge exhibited. Our original consciousness is Krishna consciousness because we are part and parcel of Krishna. When this consciousness is misguided and one is put into the material atmosphere, which pollutes the original consciousness, one thinks that he is a product of the material elements. Thus one loses his real remembrances of his position as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as a man who sleeps forgets himself. In this way, when the activities of proper consciousness are checked, all the activities of the lost soul are performed on a false basis. At the present moment, human civilization is acting on a false platform of bodily identification. Therefore, it can be said that the people of the present age have lost their souls, and in this respect, they are not better than animals. So this 4th canto, 22nd chapter, text 31. And then the next verse, Sanat Kumar speaks, there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's own self-realization. So we should not think something is more important than self-realization. Self-realization, not just the self, but also with the super self, with the Lord, and our relationship with Him, our service, hearing, chanting, remembering about Him. This is the most important function we have to learn and to ultimately surrender to and apply in our lives every day, whole life, life after life, or in eternal life. Purport, Prabhupada says, human life is especially meant for self-realization. Self refers to the super self and the individual self, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. When, however, one becomes more interested in the body and bodily sense gratification, it creates for himself obstructions on the path of self-realization. By the influence of Maya, one becomes more interested in sense gratification, which is prohibited in this world for those interested in self-realization. Instead of becoming interested in sense gratification, one should divert his activities to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Soul. Anything performed contrary to this principle is certainly against one's self-interest. Next verse. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interests. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations must not associate with the modes of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions for realization of religious principles, dharma, artha, karma, moksha, and ultimately moksha, liberation. Out of the four principles, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, liberation has to be taken very seriously. The other three are subject to destruction by the stringent laws of nature, by the time of death. So dharma, artha, karma will go, but moksha will stay if we endeavor in this direction. We accept as blessings different states of higher life, distinguishing them from lower states of life, but we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchanges of the modes of material nature. Actually, these states of life have no permanent existences, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller in the form of the time factor. Therefore, Sanat Kumar advised the king, therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is living within everyone's heart along with the individual soul in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual soul are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life, air and intelligence. Very beautiful purports, but they are quite long.